The following paid program does not represent the views of North Shore 104.9.
Welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. This morning during the program, your host, Mark Friedman, may discuss specific financial planning and investment ideas. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Financial planning and investment advice is offered through Friedman Financial, an SEC-registered investment advisor located in Peabody, Massachusetts. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, a member of FINRA and SIPC. Friedman Financial is a separate entity from LPL Financial. Investing involves risk, including loss of principal. Always consult a certified financial planner professional, qualified attorney, or tax advisor prior to investing to determine what is appropriate for you.
Listeners to this radio show should consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company carefully before investing. The prospectus contains this and other information about the mutual fund, variable annuity, and variable annuity subaccounts. To obtain a prospectus, you may contact Friedman Financial or your financial advisor. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making a potential investment.
And now, here's the host of Dollars and Cents, Mark Friedman of Friedman Financial.
Good morning and welcome to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you had a nice Halloween week or weekend. I mean, with all this crazy weather that we've had, some people trick-or-treated on Wednesday, some did it on Thursday, some did it on Saturday. I bet your house is loaded with lots of candy, and I hope you're doing well. I mean, the dentist will, I'm sure, be happy to see you in a few months. Hope you had a nice time, but here we are, the beginning of November. This is the countdown towards those two big holidays that are coming up. The big turkey's coming in a few weeks, and then Santa Claus drops down the chimney a few weeks thereafter. There's a few other holidays. Of course, there's the Jewish holidays that fall in there, and Veterans Day and a few others along the way. But I'm here in studio today, another Sunday morning, and I have a guest today. I've brought my business partner, Marion Gilman. Good morning, Marion. How are you?
I'm great. How are you today, Mark?
I'm doing great, thank you. It is 8 weeks until the market closes, till the year closes, and we move on to the 2020. You ready?
I cannot believe another year has gone by. It just seems to go by so quickly.
Yeah,
this, I don't know what it is. When you get older, you know, time goes faster.
It does.
I'm not
move
really
fast.
Sure.
It does move fast. Right. Someone once said, in fact, we've mentioned it on the radio, when we're younger, we say, we got all the time in the world. And then as we get older, we say, where did all the time go?
Most definitely.
And so we ask ourselves these questions, and we want to be sure that as we think towards the future, and for many of us, there is a very bright future ahead, and that future will extend far longer than we possibly would have ever imagined.
So true.
And, we're talking about it. We're doing a meeting for some of our clients next week on what's called the 8,000 Days of Retirement. I know we've talked about this on the radio, about a study that came out of the MIT Age Lab on the future of what retirement looks like, and it's far different from what it looked like when your parents or grandparents were alive, right?
Most definitely. I mean, people retired at 65 hoping to live and for another year or two. I mean, that was really the reality back then.
Yeah.
When Social Security first started, and also when my grandfather, who, geez, he'd be well into his hundreds now, but when he retired, he had paid into Social Security for a few years. Fortunately, he lived to 90, but the life expectancy at the time was 68, 69 years old.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. I mean, life expectancy today is far longer.
Yes. And look at all of our clients who are in their 90s.
And doing well. They're driving.
Yeah.
Maybe some of them shouldn't, but that's all
that's
a story.
That's a different
question. And they would actually admit to that. I've talked to several of our clients who are in their 90s, and they say, I know I shouldn't be driving, but
it's what they know.
It is what they know. And, you know, one of the things that we talk about and that we'll be talking about in our upcoming meeting for our clients is some of the technology that's out there that allows people who are both aging and those that are in their 20s to be able to leverage technology to make life a little easier. And a lot of services that are out there that do that.
And driving is a prime example of there are so many options. First of all, if you don't want to drive, you can take a taxi, of course, which many older people are familiar with, but there are loads of ride-sharing programs now.
Absolutely. And if you want stuff delivered to your house, you can have toilet paper delivered to your house. I mean, anything you want, right?
Well, we get supplies delivered to the office all the time.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, this week, what did we get? Tissue
paper
boxes?
Paper towels, I think, and tissue boxes,
and
right?
Coffee was delivered to the office just in a simple box. I mean, and
Amazon is great, isn't it?
Yeah. And people say, well, I'm not paying for a delivery service for that. Well, you don't even have to anymore. And so
the kids do it all the time.
All the time.
I mean, you know, it's funny. They're the ones that can easily get out and go to the store, but they don't. My son never goes to a store.
Nor does my daughter. I mean, they just don't do it. They want dishwashing detergent.
They just call from Amazon.
Yeah, they're at work. They pull up Amazon.
They don't call anything.
They're at work. They go to their phone. They order it on Amazon, and it shows up the next day. Sometimes same day.
They got an app for that.
They have an app for everything. And really, if you're not embracing the technology movement, I think seniors have really started to embrace that technology movement over the past 10 years, and even more so in the next 20 years to come. I mean, the adoption rate is huge.
Right. And if you haven't already, get one of your grandkids or some young person to show you how.
It's really, really simple. Right. Well, we are here each and every Sunday from 8 to 9 a.m. Like I said, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial, located in Peabody, Massachusetts. I'm joined by my business partner, Marion Gilman. And you've been with us, 20 years now, right?
Almost.
Approaching 20 years.
Yep. Next June.
That's right.
20 years.
20 years is a long time. Yeah. I mean, I've only been there, 8 years more than you have.
Yeah.
7 or 8. Yeah. 9 years, whatever.
The company's been around a lot longer, but.
Yeah, 53, 52 years, something like that. It's been a long time. But we've been providing financial planning and investment management advice to individuals and families who live on the North Shore, the Merrimack Valley, the surrounding community, for almost 52 years. And it amazes me how many generations of clients we've seen both come and go. Not come and go because they've left us, because some people pass on, but the next generation joins us. We're very fortunate to have almost a 99% retention rate in our office.
We really are.
Yeah, and once people become clients in the office, they stay. And what do you think some of those reasons are that people stay, Marion?
Well, first of all, we have the best clients in the world.
We really do.
Absolutely. But we know, you know what, they're so comfortable with us and they trust us, which is very important. And we know a lot about them and we do a great job of providing them with financial advice in a language you can understand and following along on their, you know, keeping them on track each and every year as they move through retirement.
It's interesting you say that. Our tagline of financial advice in a language you can understand. I happened to meet somebody this past week who came into the office and he says, that is the reason why I'm going to hire you. He said, I have been listening to your radio show for years. And I love the fact that you talk about this expression of financial advice in a language you can understand, and it really propels itself both through you and through Marion and whomever else here is on the radio show. And the financial relationships that I've had with other advisors just doesn't quite do that. It's just, it's here's your statement, here's your website, here's your app, figure it out yourself. And no one's really providing that financial advice that goes beyond the investment account and asking a lot of other questions. I mean, the scope of stuff that we address with our clients is pretty vast, right?
Absolutely. But I think one of the prime reasons is 65% of our clients are in retirement or living off their assets that they have with us. And their focus now is they want to enjoy their life. You know, however many years they have left, they want to enjoy it. They don't want to worry about where their next dollar is coming from. They want to know that they're financially stable, that somebody else is watching it, and somebody else is on track if they, you know, to provide them with that monthly distribution or whatever it is that they need.
Right, and they have to find.
And they can enjoy.
And what they're able to do through that is what we refer to as buying back time.
Most definitely, yeah. Yeah, they don't want to stay up at night worrying about it, nor do they want to get notices that, oh, gee, you don't have enough money in your account because you haven't transferred it, you haven't sold something, you know, on and on and on.
And we take care of that. We have a really good system in place so that you, as the client, don't have to worry about that stuff anymore.
Right.
You can enjoy your vacation, time with the grandkids, time eating out, whatever it is that you want to do. We take care of the big picture stuff as it relates to your money, and it's a reason why many people work with us. And if you think now is the time for you to get serious about your financial planning and investment management needs, it's a great time to give us a call. We're happy to schedule a free initial consultation for you at our office. All you need to do is give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or if you just want, visit us on our website, friedmanfinancial.com. That's Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com. We got this really cool tab on the website that talks about getting to know who we are, what we do, the services we offer. There's nothing secret about what we're doing. We made it very clear and on purpose that you should be able to have access to information that says, what should I expect from an initial consultation if I were to go to visit with Friedman Financial? What's the process that they would take if I hired them to do financial planning and investment management work?
What should I bring with me?
Yeah, that's always a big question. What do I bring? What to expect? And you know what? There is some homework involved, isn't there, Marion?
There is. And sometimes clients say, you know what? Just doing the homework was an eye-opening experience.
Yeah. And then we put it all together. We talk it through. We help you understand where you are financially. Assess where you are. And sometimes the assessment might say, you know what? You're doing great. You're really in a really good spot. Or it might say, if you want to achieve the goals that you're thinking about, and many of us have a very difficult time identifying those, fully identifying what those goals look like, but we help you to say, you know what, maybe you're falling a little short here, or if you tweaked this or changed that, you'd be in a far better situation. So we got lots, that's what we call financial advice in a language you can understand. We do that each and every Sunday right here on the radio station. We do that personally with you at our offices in Peabody, 41 Cross Street, just above Alto Forno Restaurant, and across from the giant mess that's across the street now with all the building and all the stuff that's going on over at the North Shore Mall. But we've got to take a break. When we get back, we found this story that was in the Wall Street Journal this past week. It talks about credit scores. Many people ask us about, how do I raise my credit score? How do I change my credit score? Is my credit score even meaningful? Is it worth even having one? Or
how do I get it? How does my son or daughter get a credit score when they're just out of college?
Yeah, and we'll have answers to that and so much more when we get back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Blend the classic strategies of investing with a contemporary approach to financial planning. That's what Friedman Financial can do for you. Wherever you are along your financial journey, Friedman Financial has the skills, technology, and experience to help you make smart financial decisions. Their team of certified financial planners will deliver an independent, objective, personalized plan for you. Let's make 2019 the year you get serious about your financial plan. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
This month, consider setting yourself apart from the ordinary at Gibley's Menswear in Danvers.
And there's no better way to set yourself apart than in a custom suit made just for you.
You choose the fabric, style, liner, and buttons. Their trusted tailors guide you through the entire process. And the best part of all is your custom suit is made in as little as 8 days.
And new Canada Goose jackets for him and her have arrived just in time for those chilly fall evenings.
Gibley's Menswear. Come in once, you'll be a customer for life.
Planning for retirement and managing your investments has never been more difficult. Chances are you're trying, but worried you may make a misstep. Friedman Financial is all about getting your financial house in order and providing financial advice in a language you can understand. Their interactive software and in-person conversations will help you determine if you're on track. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has delivered independent advice. If now's the time to get serious about life and retirement, visit Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
If I had $1 million.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. Hope you're enjoying your Sunday. The leaves have almost fallen from the trees. There's still a few bits of color left and right as you look around, and the next big rainstorm, next big windstorm, and it's going to be all gone, and we're back to the barren trees.
And snow.
And, oh, don't say that. Snow, thank you. And, oh, yeah, Marion's here. Thanks.
just to liven
just,
things
just
up.
To brighten up my day. And actually, well, I am appreciative of the fact that we did get an extra hour of sleep today, right, Marion?
Awesome.
Yeah, we got to fall back for an hour. So it's a little brighter out this morning. Hope you know, I was worried. I was waking up at, 6:30, 7 o'clock, and it is dark outside. No longer. The lights are coming back on in the morning. But
I'm not going to like it tomorrow when we get out of work and it's dark out.
Yeah, well, at 3:30, 4 o'clock when it starts getting dark out. And it's like, geez, we haven't left yet? I'm supposed to be home by now.
I should be in bed.
Exactly. Well, we'll deal with that. But fall is here. Thanksgiving is coming. end of the year is coming, and you know, it's a lot of times for doing some general housekeeping and general financial housekeeping as well, getting your financial house in order. It's the time when you start to gather items, start to think about what you need to do, and many of us still procrastinate, and we wait till that January and February and March, but now might be a good time to start thinking about a bunch of things. Perhaps you're thinking about some major purchases in the upcoming year or two, and you want to make sure that you can position yourself appropriately to get the right lending or the right loan that you might need with the lowest possible rate. And one of the ways to do that is make sure that you're clear on what your credit score looks like, right?
That is a very important component of actually of life right now. And because even some employers nowadays go look at your credit score before they hire you. But renting an apartment, but certainly getting credit cards, getting a mortgage, or getting an auto loan, any type of loan like that, your credit score will be reviewed by whoever the lender is.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this in the past. I strongly encourage everybody who listens to sign up for a free account on creditkarma.com. That's credit, C-R-E-D-I-T, karma, K-A-R-M-A. I happened to look at mine just before I came here today because I wanted to make sure that my credit score was still looking good, and I'm still in the 800, so I'm doing just fine.
Phew.
I made it. But there are a few myths about credit scores as well. And a story that came out in the Wall Street Journal recently talked about some of the myths that we've been told about credit. And I thought, Marion, maybe you could kind of fill us in on a couple of these myths that you think are relevant to the listeners here on the radio show.
Absolutely. So I think one of the most important myths, or one of the most important items that they pointed out in this article that affects your credit score, is the utilization of your credit. And I think this is not well understood by many people. So what the utilization of your credit means is that it looks at how much credit is available to you. So if you took all of your credit cards, and let's say you have 10 credit cards and you have a $5,000 credit limit on each one of them, that means you've got $50,000 of credit available to you. And how much of that have you used up? So if you've only, if you have charged $10,000 worth of that $50,000 that you have available, you have used 20% of your credit. That's your utilization rate. And that is a very important rate that many companies look at. It's not so much how much you have outstanding or how much in credit you've already used. It's the ratio of the two.
So let's try to make this. Let's try to even simplify it. You talked about 10 cards. Let's assume you have one card. Right?
Okay.
So you have one card, and you've been issued a card, and the card comes out and it says, you know, here's your first Visa card. You got a credit limit of $5,000.
Right.
And you go ahead and put $3,000 on your credit card, okay?
Right.
Because you can.
So now you've used 60%.
60%.
Correct.
Now,
so that's bad.
Even if you pay off the amount
right.
every month.
Doesn't matter.
That is not helping your credit score.
That's
just
exactly right.
Just because you're paying it off every month.
Right.
If you're using $3,000 of the $5,000 every month, they're not feeling good about that.
That's right. So the rule of thumb in the industry is that ideally, you should have less than 30% of your outstanding credit used up, and the best thing would be to have it under 10%. So, you know, one of the ways that you can actually increase your credit score is by having more available credit and less usage of credit.
Right. So it's very simple, actually. If you had a $5,000 credit limit and you know that you're spending $3,000 a month on your credit card, you could call up the credit card company and say, hey, could you raise my credit limit to $20,000
right.
or $25,000? And what's the chance that they're going to do that, Mary?
The chances are pretty good that they're going to do that. I mean, they might 5 to 20 might be a little bit of a jump,
mm-hmm.
but 5 to 10, that's usually, they pretty much, you know, as long as you can qualify. And if you've had that credit card a while, it's very likely they will do that.
And then, I mean, we were using the example of using one credit card, but many
right.
people have multiple credit cards, right?
Correct.
You got your Macy's card, your Nordstrom card, your
right.
Best Buy card, your regular MasterCard, or whatever. And all of those credit limits add up. And if you were to ask somebody, what's your collective credit limit of all your credit cards? I bet most people don't know.
No, truthfully, I don't know.
I don't know myself.
Yeah.
I do know this. My utilization rate on my credit cards, because I checked Credit Karma before I came in here, was 12%.
Okay.
So
you're high.
Well, I mean, you know, I'm below 30%. I mean, but I'm still carrying an 800 credit score. Because right. I put a lot of money on my credit card. I try not to pay cash for anything.
Right.
But I have a 3-year history of never missing the full payment due. So that helps too.
Yes.
If you're paying just the minimum amount and you're maintaining that credit amount month after month and not paying everything down, that's not a great thing either.
No, it's not. And some people, there's a misconception about that as well. Some people think you have to carry a balance in order to establish credit. That's not true.
False. Absolutely false.
Yes, you can. As long as if you charge on the card and you pay it off, you're good. One thing we should warn everybody about is that you don't want to go out and get more credit cards to increase your available credit. Because every time you get another credit card, the credit card company does an inquiry against you. And if you have too many inquiries, then that also affects your credit score negatively. So in a short period of time, if you went out and tried to get 5 new credit cards and you had 5 inquiries over, you know, a half a year, then that would negatively affect.
Yeah, because there's a difference. Some of them are called hard inquiries. And some are called soft inquiries.
Correct. So if an employer goes to look at your credit score, that's a soft inquiry because you're not looking for credit from them. They're just looking to see what your history is. If you go check your credit score, and again, that's not considered a hard inquiry. The hard inquiries are if you're going for a mortgage and you're trying to compare rates or an auto loan or whatever that is. When those companies go and check your credit score, that's a hard inquiry, and it does affect your credit score.
Yeah, and so you have to be careful. I mean,
So you're better off increasing the limit you have on your current cards than go try to get a new card.
One of the myths that was out there, Marion, was opening a new retail credit card is good for your score. A lot of people seem to feel that was appropriate. That's not necessarily the case. I mean, because every time, first of all, it's another hard request to go ahead and check your credit to see if you're eligible. It's not going to help your credit score. If you want additional credit, that's fine. But there is one place where opening a credit card does make sense, especially if you're a young person and you're trying to establish credit for yourself. Let's say you've never had a credit card. You want to go ahead and do that, and that probably makes sense.
And the retail credit cards are typically easier to get.
They are.
So for somebody who's new to opening a credit card, that's a way to establish some credit.
And the credit limits on those are generally pretty low. I mean, $1,000, yes. $2,000. And they want to see that you have the ability to keep paying it back on a month-to-month basis.
Right. And the other thing, you know, it's interesting because, again, some people think, oh, well, if I close an old credit card with a high interest rate on it, that's going to help me out. It actually won't help you out because that closing an older credit card where you have an established history and you have available credit, again, it could hurt you in the overall scheme of things.
You know, one of the things, instead of closing that account, if you want to try to keep or set up a good sense of credit worthiness, is to use a credit card, and maybe you use that credit card where you sign up for Netflix and it's an automatic pay, $14.99 a month or whatever that cost is per month. And you just have an auto pay directly from your bank account. You don't have to worry about paying the credit card. It's automatically paid for you, happens every single month, and you begin to develop a really nice history of paying your credit.
Absolutely. And that's really important for young people and too, because that's a way to actually establish, you know, good credit.
Yeah, I also thought it was interesting in this article. It talked about how some people use their debit card when they go to retail outlets and they go to pay a debit card. And usually when you stick in your debit card, the message pops up and it says debit or credit. And people will select credit, even though they know they're using a debit card. They think they're beating the system, that they're using credit, because if they say credit, it'll make it look like they're developing a good payment history. Is that true, Marion?
That is not true. No, so it doesn't really make any difference whether it's credit or debit, because it's still going to be debited from your account. Although this article says, and I don't have experience with this, if you do choose credit, it does get deducted from your account.
There's like a 3-day hold or something.
3-day, in 3 days versus immediately if you select debit. I don't know about that.
I don't know if I believe that either.
that was a little bit,
It's one of those things, like everything that we read, you got to remember the perspective from which the person is writing it from. I mean, this could be a 21-year-old that was asked to write a story on credit scores.
Right.
And he or she has very little history. They do their own research by reading a few other articles, interview a few of their friends, and that's the story.
And you know, there can be errors in stories, and there can be errors in your credit report as well.
Absolutely.
So that is a very critical element of creating a credit score, is you want to be sure that you check you request your credit score annually anyways. There are three primary companies that will send you reports on your credit score: TransUnion, Experian, and Equifax. And so those three companies, you are entitled to one free report per year. And you should request a report from each one of them. And one of the things that we do and we suggest our clients do is that you select one of them every 4 months. So you're checking, so you get one, you get a credit report from one of the companies every 4 months over the course of the year. So you're regularly checking your all of your accounts. And look at it, because there are apparently a lot of errors in credit reports. I was surprised when I saw the statistic was about 21% of people found errors in their credit report.
Yeah, it's quite a bit. It's not that difficult to follow. I mean, you pull up the report, you get it. Most of these don't require you to use a credit card or anything like that. So they're not going to charge you an annual or a monthly fee to do this. I know Credit Karma doesn't do that, and you can get a lot of information that you need, and you look at it. You figure out what. And there's actually some tools to help you improve your credit score if you'd like, if you find that it's lower than what you might like.
Right. There was one other myth that I thought was really interesting that I did not know, and that is that, normally I think if you pull your credit report and you see these older unpaid debts, those are the ones, the ones that are 3 years old or something, and for some reason you haven't paid it. Those are the ones you want to pay off first to improve your credit score. And apparently that's not the case.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting too.
Yeah.
So let me be sure people understand what you're saying. So let's make sure that maybe you've carried some debt for a really long time and you just haven't paid it off. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, if only I could pay off that debt. If I could pay off that older stuff, the stuff that's 3, 4, 5 years old perhaps. If I get that out of the way, I'm going to truly improve my credit score.
But I'm going to leave the newer stuff.
I'm going to leave the newer stuff. I'll take care of the older stuff first, and then we'll deal with the newer stuff later. That's not the right way to approach that, is it?
No, and that was very surprising to me. They said that what most affects your credit score are those debts that are going from 30 days to 60 days to 90 days. And then once they get to 90 days, they go into, way overdue. So those are the ones you want to pay off first, because those are the ones that are really going to affect your credit score. Mm-hmm. Whereas the older stuff, usually after 2 years, the companies will just sort of write that off. Or
they hand it over to a credit collection agency.
Correct. Yeah.
And now they're not asking money from you. They're asking money from the collection agency. So they've kind of almost forgotten about you. It's still there. Don't get me wrong. But their eye is really on, what are you doing now? Are you building more problematic debt?
Right.
Let's see if we can get you to pay that off faster.
And those are the ones, and the newer ones, the ones that are over 90 days, are the ones that can become a true, a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was fascinating as well. I did too. Yeah.
So, one last thing about credit, and many of our clients, many people that listen to this show are either approaching retirement or are in retirement. And I oftentimes find it interesting when a 75-year-old comes to me and they say, my credit score, I really love to boost up my credit score a little bit. I want to get it a little bit higher. And they're talking about all these different ways that they could do that. Maybe I should get rid of some of my credit cards. Maybe I should do it. Or just out credit cards that I don't even use anymore. Because a lot of us have these retail cards. Maybe you bought something at Best Buy or Macy's or Nordstrom. Used it once to get the promotion, but you still carry the cards. And I'll say to them, why bother? Do you really need, does credit score really matter when you're in your 70s and 80s, Marion?
As far as I'm concerned, no. I mean, I even look at it now for myself and I think, I'm not going to get a mortgage anytime soon.
Exactly.
I'm not moving. I'm not, I'm not going to go try to get some high interest rate loan or some loan that is going to charge me a high interest rate. So Do I really care? Probably not.
Yeah, I think some people stress about it way more than they need to.
Right, right.
You know,
of course, I do keep current on my bills, but you know,
and you should. You shouldn't be carrying balances,
planner, right?
Right. You should not be carrying balances on a credit card. That's just an absolute mistake. Right.
And that is that first mistake we talked about, where people think, oh, to establish credit, I need to carry a balance. So not true.
Not true at all. And so I hope you enjoyed this little segment on the 9 myths about credit scores. And we have got to take a quick break. When we get back, I want to talk about some retirement stuff. There's a story that came out. It's called "How Does Retirement Affect Your Marriage?" Have you thought about that? Wow, is retiring going to affect your marriage? Let's talk about that when we're back. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Boston, are you ready? The Bodyguard the Musical, the award-winning stage show that has taken the world by storm, is now making its Boston area premiere. Based on the smash hit movie, The Bodyguard is a thrilling new stage musical featuring more than 15 hit songs made famous by Whitney Houston. Rediscover one of the greatest soundtracks of all time and get swept away by the iconic love story live on stage. The story you know, the music you love, the musical you've been waiting for. The Bodyguard is at Bill Haney's North Shore Music Theater from October 29th through November 10th. Get your tickets today at nsmt.org.
Sponsored by Big Jim's Auto Body.
Welcome back to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9. I know we just heard the Bodyguard promotion for the North Shore Music Theater. Saw it this past week. What fabulous music. It's it's Whitney Houston. It's not very often that we get to hear kind of the Whitney Houston soundtrack. It's a lot of fun. I know you saw the show as well this week, Mary. What'd
fabulous.
You think?
Fabulous. Great. So much fun.
It is. And the North Shore Music Theater does such a good job. I mean, I happen to go Tuesday night. Usually I go on a Saturday night to see the show, but because of a bunch of scheduling conflicts or whatever, we went to preview night, and preview night was sold out. So, I mean, that's how popular this show is. People are really excited to see it. If you haven't got your tickets yet, get them. It's only here for the rest of this week. I think it closes on a matinee next Sunday, and then that's it for The Bodyguard. And then, of course, David Coffey's back again for his 271st year.
I don't know how many years.
David's been doing it 20-plus years at least. Man, is he great as Ebenezer Scrooge for The Christmas Carol. If you haven't seen it, go see The Christmas Carol at the Music Theater. They put updates and changes and do something different every year. It's amazing what they can do with that stage. So go check that out. And the lineup for next year's Music Theater is really tremendous as well.
It's fun.
nsmt.org. Go to their website. We are the Broadway Club sponsor and have been for a number of years. And we'll continue to do it again next year. We're already on their promotional stuff to promote the Broadway Club. So we love doing it. And if ever I see you in the Broadway Club.
It's such a great place for the North Shore.
Come see us. I mean, I usually have a few extra drink tickets around, too. So I had them Tuesday night when I was there, and I handed out a few because I wasn't even drinking that night. So,
there you go. So you had to work the next morning.
I did. So a few people enjoyed that. You know what was interesting about the Broadway Club? And I know we're supposed to be talking about financial advice in a language you can understand.
Do you?
But Laura and I went Tuesday night. We went to get a quick dinner with the boys, and we went to Flip the Bird. Marion's laughing because now I'm talking about restaurants. Flip the Bird in Beverly. Man, that was an awesome chicken sandwich. But the thing is, we were in and out of there so quickly that we got to the Music Theater an hour beforehand. And we're like, are they going to even be open? And we, not only were they open, we walked into the Broadway Club and almost every seat was taken already.
Really?
People had got there early, early. They are ordering drinks. They're having snacks. They're just hanging out. Nothing to do.
Wow.
I was amazed at how busy the Broadway Club was an hour before the show. And it's a great place to go for the intermission.
Sure.
Number one reason to go to the Broadway Club at intermission?
Well, you have to enter a contest.
Well, there's that. But no, the number one reason is people don't want to stand in line at the bathroom.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah, that is the reason.
But you know.
As much as I'd like to think that we have a contest and a raffle, you're right. That is an important part. But anyways, one of the stories that came out recently, and it's part of a focus that we've been talking about at our office when it comes to retirement, is retirement for those approaching it nowadays is far different from what retirement looked like for your parents, your grandparents, great-grandparents. We're going to live a long time.
Figure, we hope.
Figure 22-plus years in retirement, whatever that date might be. When you say, I'm going to retire at 65, 68, 70, whatever it is, figure 22 years at least.
How are you going to fill that time?
Yeah. I mean, all those other segments, all those other 22-year intervals before that, were pretty clear. I mean,
so you're talking about the four divisions of your life cycle, essentially.
Yeah. So yeah. The first 22 years, it's education, right?
Correct.
The next 22
so
years?
It's pretty much planned out for you, the first 22 years.
And the next one, is that pretty planned out?
Well, that usually is. I mean, you normally, you know, you establish a career, you get married, potentially, you know, buy a house maybe, settle down somewhere. So, yeah. Other than the midlife crisis, you know,
that's
that
the
might
third
happen.
One. Well, that's the third one, is the midlife crisis of what am I going to do? But while you're wondering about that, it's also the most expensive years of your life, putting your kids through college,
right.
Perhaps having to take care of your aging parents. There's a lot of stuff that you know you're going to have to do, and you can almost envision what those next 22 years will look like. But once you hit 65, you know, years ago,
it's
retirement
up for grabs.
Ended, you know, 5-10 years.
Your life ended at 65.
Yeah, it was right? different, right? Well, according to the Love Boat.
The Love Boat?
Right? You know, you had your 30 years with the company, you got your gold watch, you got on the cruise ship, you threw the streamers off for the Bon Voyage party, you had a dance on the Lido deck, you went home, got some lemonade, and died. And that's
perfect.
That's what life was like. That's not what it's like anymore.
Not at all.
So, an interesting statistic, Marion. Interesting statistic is one that says, did you know that the divorce rate in America is going down? Now, most people say 50% of people get divorced. The divorce rate for folks under the age of 50 is going down dramatically. But it's going up somewhere else, isn't it?
It is for the old people.
Yeah.
Older people. It's not called, old, older.
It's called a gray divorce, right?
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you know what? I guess you retire from work or you start to plan for that retirement and you look over and you say, maybe we don't have anything in common anymore.
Because when you
think... Maybe he's driving me crazy or she's driving me crazy.
When you think about it, let's say you've been married 25, 30, 40 years as you approach retirement. How much time did you really spend together every day?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, particularly if you have children... I'm sure, you know, you with five children, but even me with one child. I mean, my husband and I, we sort of divided and conquered many of the times. You know, we were working. We had things to do with the kid. You have so much to do that, you know, you pass. You might have dinner together, but that might be it for the day.
Yeah, I remember there was that movie Date Night with Steve Carell and Tina Fey.
That's
my
really
favorite
funny.
Line from that is there as they're in the heat of dealing with their kids and running in all these different directions, they say, you know, I finally come to terms with the fact that you and I are just really good roommates. and that's what it becomes while you have children, while you're developing your family and all of that. And then all
and
of
working,
a sudden...
you know, you're working right. all day, right? And that can take up a good 10, 12 hours a day.
And even when you're home, you're still thinking about work.
Of course.
And you're thinking about all those other things.
Or something else, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you become an empty nester, but you're still working perhaps.
Yeah.
But then the work stops, and you realize you're waking up in the morning, and you go, I'm stuck with her all day? Or I'm sure Laura's thinking the same thing. What the heck are we going to do all day? It's not like an hour or two, and then I'll see you later.
Or it's, oh, my God, he's still here.
He's still there. He's not leaving.
Wait a minute. where's my space?
And it's a problem.
Yeah.
And it's the reason why gray divorce, that's the top ending, divorce over the age of 50 is ramping up at an accelerated pace. People are, especially over the age of 65, people are saying, maybe I could do 4 or 5 more years, and that's what retirement kind of looked like. But if I got to spend the next 30 years with this person...
Ew.
Yeah.
We just recently read an article, and I, you know, relatively sexist, but they talked about this a wife, and was going out of her mind because the husband retired and just sort of followed her around. And she's like, oh, my God, get rid of him, please.
Yep. In fact,
he's still behind me.
In fact, here, I'll read you that brief story. How's that?
There you go.
I'll read it to you. It says, shortly after, this is a story that was written by Joe Coughlin of the MIT Age Lab. He writes,
who's fabulous. He does so much work.
Yeah. Oh, understanding what the future generation of retirees will look like is really amazing.
Yeah.
So he talks about after doing one of his lectures on the future of retirement, a petite older woman approaches me. Confidently, she quickly positions herself between me and the other attendees that had follow-up questions. She came close, almost in my face, and began speaking to me at a volume that may have been appropriate several feet away, but she said, I don't know who he is. He's always there, every day. But before I could ask whom she was describing, I noticed this older man standing slightly to the side, but a little behind her. And she continued, picking up her pace and her volume. He just doesn't understand. I have a daily routine. The man now seemed to be stepping back a little bit more, almost shrinking away. She turned to him and rhetorically said, isn't that true? Not waiting for his response, she turned to me, seemingly looking for me to agree or referee, saying, my husband, now that he's retired, he's always looking for me to feed him, to entertain him, and to keep him busy. Not waiting for my reply, she took the older man by the arm and just headed off towards the exit. Well, this is a story that we're hearing a lot.
And, well, there's a good expression that came out of that, right? Isn't that on the thing?
What's the...
I married you for better or worse, but not for lunch.
That's exactly what the next sentence said. I started... That's exactly right, Marion.
Right. And we've actually had a lot of clients who express that same sentiment.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we all develop our routines.
Right.
And
it's typically... The person who has been at home... potentially, or who retires first and gets into a routine, if it's a two-income household, then that person has developed a routine, and the next person to retire may or may not fit into that routine.
And so that's why this story of how does retirement affect marriage is so, so relevant. What amazed me in this story... The story was 22 pages long. Most internet stories are, 200 to 500 words. This thing's 22 pages long. There's a lot of opinions that people have in the retirement community about what to do. And one of the questions is, will I actually go mad if we spend every day together? This is
the
what,
answer could be yes,
yeah,
for some people.
You just can't sit around watching Netflix all the time.
No.
And, having... a chicken pot pie or learning how to use the crock pot. You got to do some stuff.
And that is one of, I think, the biggest concerns about people who are retiring and sometimes the biggest adjustment. It's not so much financial sometimes.
Absolutely, yeah. Because,
what do I do with my time?
We can support ourselves, all of us, on a lot less. And we know that. I mean, many generations before us will certainly tell you, well, I certainly did. And we could, too. There's no question about that.
Right.
But one of the reports that comes out of the Age Lab, the MIT Age Lab, talks about how does not doing anything impact your lifespan. And it talked about if you're not getting out and being social, going to the movies, going out to eat, going for hikes, going on a vacation, if you're not doing that, if you're just sedentary and watching television, reading just by yourself, you're actually taking years off your life by doing nothing.
I have seen that study, yeah. And I believe it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And we find, interestingly, that when a man loses his wife, his life expectancy shortens very quickly.
I think the wife is typically the social director and instigates a lot more of the social activities than sometimes the male does. And that's not the case in every household. However, I think in many cases that's how it's worked. And a lot of that just historically, men have worked more hours or been the sole provider maybe, and the wife was home, had developed more friendships, and also, filled up the social calendar versus somebody who's at work all day.
Yeah, because traditionally, there is, it's changed quite a bit now, but
sure.
Traditionally, many men who worked for a company for 20, 30, 40 years had somebody doing a lot of stuff for them. right? Somebody was managing their calendar. Someone was managing their day. They were having people report to them, and they had to supervise and oversee, but other people were doing the grunt work, right?
But even if they didn't, I mean, think about it. Even if you were in a position where you weren't supervising anybody, you had a very scheduled day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most work was scheduled.
Right. And you had your circle of friends.
Right.
And you didn't want to leave that circle. You didn't want to retire because you didn't want to leave the circle of friends.
Right.
Because you knew that if you retired and left that circle of friends, you'd be home.
Right. And so you also knew what you had to do at every point during the course of the day, what was expected of you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, nothing's expected of you, and you have no friends.
Yeah. And for many people, the more and more we rely on electronic communication, our social skills get worse and worse and worse.
Sure.
And those years start coming off your life. So ask yourself, as you approach retirement, as you begin thinking, oh my God, I'm going to spend the next 30 years with this person by my side, what are we going to do? And we ask this question to a lot of couples when they come in for their financial planning reviews, when they come in as initial consultations. One of the questions I'll ask is, let's forget about the money. Tell me what it is that the two of you enjoy doing together, just the two of you, besides eating out. And you ask that question, and there is a lot of blank stares.
Silence.
There really is. And all of a sudden, it is a wake-up call, because they begin to realize that, oh my goodness, I'm going to spend close to 16 to 18 waking hours every single day staring into these person's eyes or to the back of their head, wherever they're staring at, wondering, what are we going to do together? And it is a challenge. And it's all part of the financial planning process. You got to get the money in line, but you have to get the financial advice, the personal advice, the lifelong living advice all together. That's what we do at Friedman Financial. We have the experience, 52 years of it. We're happy to provide it to you. Give us a call if you'd like, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. I'm liking this topic of the worries about retirement and will it impact our marriage. Let's keep talking about this when we get back.
Okay.
We'll do that. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Loved one at home? Does he or she need round-the-clock care? Caregiving is hard. Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink is here to help. If your loved one is Medicaid eligible, their unique program provides live-in family caregivers with ongoing guidance and daily support. You'll receive support from their nurses and social workers and have access to their secure app, Vela, so you can always feel like help is just a text away. You would also get a tax-free daily stipend. To find out if you qualify, call Caregiver Homes from SeniorLink at 866-666-9039, online at caregiverhomes.com.
Hi, this is Mark Friedman, president of Friedman Financial in Peabody. For more than 50 years, Friedman Financial has provided financial advice in a language you can understand to individuals and families all throughout the North Shore. At Friedman Financial, we know that planning for your retirement is overwhelming. Don't leave this important decision to chance, or even worse, the algorithms of a faceless technology solution. Our certified financial planner professionals meet with you face-to-face to know you and your retirement goals. If now's the time to get serious about your retirement, meet with a certified financial planner at Friedman Financial in person. You deserve a strategy that incorporates every aspect of your retirement plan. To learn more, give us a call at 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. Or visit us at FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, two E's and a D, financial.com. Friedman Financial, financial advice in a language you can understand.
Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advice offered through Friedman Financial, a registered investment advisor and separate entity from LPL Financial.
I'm impressed. Marion knows the words to that song. She was kind of singing along to that. We've got Marion Gilman in studio today. My name is Mark Friedman. You're listening to Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. Marion, you enjoying yourself?
Yes. I love the music.
She does. She just sits there and bops along, and she knows the words.
All those old songs, I know all the words. The newer ones, not so much.
Well, you knew all the songs of The Bodyguard, too, that you saw at the music theater, right?
Loved it.
Yeah. That's great, great music. Everyone loves those songs.
I know.
Unfortunately, nobody, even the people at the music theater, nobody can sing like Whitney Houston sang. I mean, that is a gift, an absolute gift. And I just always remember watching The Voice or America's Got Talent or any of these things. People come out and they want to do a Whitney Houston song, and they go, you really shouldn't do that because everybody hears the way Whitney did it, and you're just not going to do it like that.
I know
that.
Some of those singers, we were so fortunate to have them while we're alive, too. You
absolutely.
Know? They were so good.
She was really fabulous. Yeah. Well, my name is Mark Friedman. I'm president and CEO of Friedman Financial. Each and every Sunday, we do this show called Dollars and Cents from 8 to 9 a.m. right here on North Shore 104.9. We've been doing this show here almost 7 or 8 years now, and our office in Peabody. 41 Cross
Street. Just down the road.
Not too far from here, above Alto Forno Restaurant.
We're not going there today, though.
No, we are not. It's Sunday. We're at home. We'll be at home for Sunday, but we'll be back in the office on Monday. And mentioning that, if you like what you hear on the radio, if you say to yourself, you know, now's the time for me to really get serious about my financial planning and investment management needs. Perhaps you're working with an advisor, or perhaps you're doing it on your own. Perhaps you feel like you've got stuff scattered all over the place, and you know that retirement is coming. Or you're perhaps in retirement right now and you feel like you just can't wrap your arms around it all. You feel almost paralyzed because there's so many things, so many questions. One of the things that we're really good at is really helping you crystallize where your financial situation stands and getting your financial house in order.
Getting everything in one place and seeing it, you know, all together.
Yeah. I mean, it starts with us developing a net worth statement for you. So you really see not only what you own, less what you owe, but also how you own it. And that's important, right?
And how you own it in terms of if you are married, whether you own certain things and your spouse owns certain things, how that's positioned, and also just everything you own. Most people have never sat down and put down all of their bank accounts, all of their investment accounts, accounts at work, property, and then what you owe, how much do you owe on all this stuff? And taking a look. I mean, we have a lot of people that come into us that we create that net worth statement, and they're shocked to see what their net worth actually is.
Yeah, when they see that it's over $1 million or over $2 million, they go, I never knew that. I said, right. Do you feel like a millionaire? Because according to this piece of paper, you're a millionaire. And how many of them say they feel like a millionaire?
I've never had one. Have you?
Never had one.
Yeah. It doesn't matter where they stand, how far over a million they are, or how, you know. They still never say yes.
They never feel like a millionaire.
Right, exactly.
Millionaire isn't what it used to
be
anymore.
Right.
But you know, the biggest surprise I find, and you'll probably agree with this, Marion, is when we talk to people about what their expectations are of what would happen if one of them were to die. You know, now you see this net worth statement. If one of you were to die, what do you think will happen? And their expectation is different from reality, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, none of them are clear. I should say none of them. Most people are not clear as to what happens when they die, and that's a problem. I mean, there are people who carry accounts only in their own name, and they think that's fine, where there's no beneficiary, no joint owner. So they just don't know what would happen to that stuff. They might have, you know, they might have life insurance policies that they name their mother and father on, and they are now married for 30 years and never changed the beneficiary.
Yeah, and the will doesn't take care of that stuff, does it, if there's a beneficiary?
No, everybody thinks, oh, yeah, just going through the will. Nope, maybe not.
And in many cases,
very important to look.
We're seeing more and more people that it's a second or a third marriage in some cases. And
that's really important. Actually, I think, you know, the most critical, for the most critical people that really need to pay attention are those who are single. Because if they've not named a power of attorney, one will be named for you, and you may or may not like that choice. And the other thing is those people who are married, second marriage, and have not changed some beneficiaries, or they don't understand, you know, what could happen with the beneficiaries that they have named.
Right. Let's say, for instance, that you're it's a second marriage for both of you, and the spouse has two children, and the wife has two children, and the husband has two children. And the wife says, well, when I die, I want my money to go to my husband because we've been living together. and for all these years. And so the wife dies, the money goes to the husband. Now when the husband dies, who should get the money?
Yeah, so the wife would expect that her children get her share. I mean, that might be the expectation, but many times that is. But the husband can do whatever he wants with it.
It's his money.
It goes to him. That's it. He can do whatever he wants.
So you can fix that.
Correct.
So you can make changes, but
that's right.
You can't just assume that's going to happen. You
right.
have to be clear
right.
on what those guidelines are. And speaking about the topic that we've been talking about earlier, about how retirement is affecting marriage these days, we are finding many, more and more couples are dealing with what's called a gray divorce. As you begin to be home with your spouse after being married 30, 40 years in some cases, and then realizing it was nice spending time, you know, maybe 2 or 3 hours a day with you at the house, and nice knowing that I could put you on my honey-do list to do this or to do that. But now that we're spending 16 hours together every day, maybe we don't share similar interests, and maybe we need to go our separate ways. And that can lead to another marriage there, where you're with a new spouse, a new partner, whomever it might be, for a short period of time.
Right.
And what do you want to have happen if one of you were to die? Does that change things around? And those are all very, very important questions. And it can't just be what I'm thinking about or my will take care of it, because I promise you, the will is not good enough.
Right. And, you know, unfortunately, we all think we have forever to do some of this stuff. And as we've found, you know, we have an aging clientele in the office, and even people
who
are young.
Aging, they're, you know, 60. Is that considered aging?
No. They are aging over the years that they're with us.
That's true. Okay.
Yeah, so as are we.
We are definitely aging.
So, no, but we have clients who, also younger clients who unexpectedly have passed away.
Right.
You know, without their affairs in order. So,
and
things may or may not have transpired that they would have wanted to happen.
Yeah, it's important. I mean, you need to start having those conversations. And that is, I think, what differentiates what we do, Marion, compared to what a lot of people view of a financial advisor.
Sure.
You know, yes. Do we manage money for people? Yes, and lots of it. Close to $400+ million under management for many of our clients.
Right.
But that's only a piece of what we do. It's providing advice not only in the money that we're managing, but all of the other sources
stuff.
Of income, the stuff, everything that they have,
right.
so that they can live life successfully in their 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and doing it smart.
And they set things up so that even after they're gone, what happens is what they goes according to their wishes.
I know one of the things that people mention to us a lot is, and because we average 1.5 deaths a month in our office, is the fact that, you know, is the people, one of the spouses is going to die. There's going to be that solo journey.
Right.
And if you don't have that person in place, if the person that's surviving isn't the one that paid all the bills, that made all the decisions, who are you going to turn to? And people look to us a lot for that, as that resource.
They do. And fortunately, we can be there and do those. Step in.
Yeah.
We need it.
It's real important.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, I want to remind our listeners that we put out a newsletter each and every Friday. It's called Planning Pointers. It lands in your mailbox at 10:30 every single Friday morning. We've been doing it for almost 11 years now. Hard to believe. Consistently.
It really
every
is.
Week.
Yep.
Every single week.
March 2009.
That's
right?
When we started.
Yeah.
It's a long, long time. So if you'd like to get our free weekly newsletter, more than 7,500 people subscribe to it. It includes the stories that we discuss on this radio show in the newsletter. Go to our website, FriedmanFinancial.com. That's Friedman, 2 E's and a D, financial.com. Go to the bottom of any page on our website. You can put in your email address, put in your name. You'll get the newsletter. I promise you, we're not going to follow up and bug you and bother you. But if now is the time for you to get serious about your financial situation, maybe it's time to consolidate things, get a second opinion, whatever it is, give our office a call, 978-531-8108. That's 978-531-8108. We'd be happy to talk with you, schedule a free initial consultation, and see if we can get you back on the right track. I've got to get out of here. Thank you to Marion for joining me today. Thanks, Marion.
Thanks for having me.
It's a lot of fun, and we will be back next Sunday from 8 to 9. Yeah, we do this 8 to 9 every Sunday right here on Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial on North Shore 104.9.
Thanks for tuning into Dollars and Cents with Friedman Financial. During the show, specific investments may have been discussed. These discussions are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations. Please consult a certified financial planner, tax professional, or attorney to determine what is appropriate for you. Consider your investment objectives, risk, charges, and expenses of an investment company before investing. That's because investing involves risk, including a loss of principal. A prospectus contains this and other information about mutual funds, variable annuities, and variable annuity subaccounts. Prospectuses should be read carefully before making an investment. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. Investment and financial planning advice is offered through Mark's firm, Friedman Financial, which is a registered investment advisor and a separate entity from LPL. Thanks again for tuning in. See you next Sunday at 8 a.m.
The prior show was a paid program that does not express the views, opinions, or beliefs of North Shore 104.9, the station management, its employees, or staff.